This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You gotta widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Harper, the swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
We continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio, rocking and rolling from a jam-packed Phoenix Convention Center, the site of the Final Four. And we all remember our next guest for what he did last year in the NCAA tournament with the greatest upset I've ever seen in March Madness, and that was when Fairleigh Dickinson, as a 16, did defeat number one Purdue. Now joining us is the head coach of Iona, and that, of course, is Tobin Anderson here with us. Tobin, great to see you. How you been?
I'm good, Zach. How are you doing? Good to be on.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on. So now a year removed from the upset, obviously you've taken the Iona job, and you were there this past year replacing Coach Pitino since he did go to St. John's. Just how do you kind of look back at year one for your program?
It's been a crazy last 3 years. I've had three jobs in 3 years, Division II to FTU to Iona, so it's actually a little more settled now. Actually, it's settled as can be, but it's good. You know, it's like the FTU thing was incredible. The experience was awesome to have that kind of run, and it's helped. It's opened doors for us in recruiting. People know who we are a little bit, know who I am a little bit. Iona's obviously a great program, so we're just trying to get things going again and want to get back to the dance and win some games. That's the whole thing.
So that win, obviously, is the apex of your career so far, but how do you make sure that there's other moments than that? So when you go into kids' rooms, it's not, oh, this is just Tobin Anderson, the guy that was a part of FDU.
Yeah, that'll wear off after a while, right? So you gotta go win some games after that as well. So, no, I think once you've been in this environment and had a chance to win games in the tournament, it's such a drug. You want to get back here as soon as you can and win and have a chance to advance. And so we're all motivated to do that and have more experiences. But, yeah, we need to get back here next year. That's the whole goal.
We all remember after the playing game your speech to your team, and that got let out and that got broadcasted publicly. But I think it showed the mentality that you need, because everyone could say, oh, we expect to win. But there's a difference in saying it and actually believing it. And it's amazing how your team knew when they got on the court that even though everyone looked at you guys as a Cinderella, you guys didn't have a Cinderella kind of mentality.
Well, I knew our guys, right? And our guys thrive off trying to prove people wrong, chip on their shoulder. Like, they were our three best players. The three guys in that Purdue game were all Division II transfers. Kind of like the kid in Oakland. The kid, you know, just like they wanted to go show the world they belonged at that stage. And so I knew playing into that a little bit would get them going. So, you know, when you have guys like that, they're motivated to play at the highest level. So I probably stirred it up a little bit too much, but I thought we had a chance to do something special, and those guys, they definitely proved that.
Coach Tobin Anderson here with us. I think it's the most boss baller move we've ever seen in March Madness, because anyone can right pull off an upset. Your guys is totally in a different category. We know it's only happened twice. You guys were the second time. But to basically guarantee that it was going to happen, low risk and an extremely high reward, right?
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't really part of the whole plan to make it that big of a speech. I mean, it was more for my players, but then, of course, the whole world caught. It was just funny how that blew up in a short amount of time. We actually got on the bus to go drive to Columbus to go play Purdue, and all of a sudden it was all over social media, the speech, and I'm like, what the hell did I just do? You know, I probably did too much. And as people who know me, I tend to talk off the cuff too much sometimes. But it ended up working out. I remember telling my guys, I apologized to them. Said, listen, guys, I shouldn't have said that. They're like, nah, coach, we got your back, man. Let's go get it done. So I kind of knew in the team that it was going to work out pretty well for us. I didn't know if we were going to win, but I thought we'd play our tails off, have a chance to win, because our guys were jacked up.
So things move so quickly.
Yep.
You get that win. Eventually, you guys get eliminated from the tourney. And then the next thing you know, you're moving on, and you're now the head coach of Iona. When did it kind of hit you? Was there a moment in the off season where it hit you, wow, look at what we were able to accomplish at FDU?
I got to be honest, because you're so busy going into recruiting, I really haven't had a chance. I mean, I see clips all the time. I watch things all the time. You see, you know, memories, and I've done a ton of interviews and things like that. So you still have those moments. I think more so as we go down the road, it'll have more of a chance to kind of look back and say, wow, that was pretty special. I mean, as the tournaments come closer this year, watching what, you know, Purdue's playing obviously very, very well, to see more so now to look back and say, man, I can't believe I can't believe we beat these guys because they are a heck of a team, and Zach Edey is a force. But you're so busy now, the way college basketball goes, it's just nonstop. We've been recruiting. I feel like I've been recruiting since the day I got the Iona job. That's all we've done, and we're back at it again now. So there's not a lot of time to sit back and reflect anymore like there used to be. You don't really get a chance to enjoy. There's really not an off season, as most coaches will tell you. So we're right back at it. But no, listen, it's a special thing. We still talk about it. My kids still love talking about it. So that's a good thing.
Well, it's neat to see where the story is a year later, because just like when UMBC beat Virginia, then the next year Virginia gets to the Final Four, they win the two games, they win the national championship, and you're always a part of really the fabric of that story, because that was the beginning really for Purdue.
Yeah, we kind of maybe woke them up a little bit, and then listen, in the tournament at some point you have a bad game, right? Every team has a game where it's going to be close, it's going to be tough, you got to try to grind through it, except for UConn. So if you can win that game, if they beat us last year, maybe all of a sudden they go on a run and go to the Final Four, a chance to win it. You never know. So it's like you got to kind of win those grinded out kind of games. Like there'll be a game, one of these games on Saturday will be closer than expected, and whoever can not play their best and still get a win, it's a huge advantage, because most of the time you'll play your best, but there'll always be a game and it's not. And if you can just find a way to steal that one, that's a huge advantage.
How do you prepare for a Zach Edey?
Oh God. I remember last year, just like we had a graduate assistant, Mike Holloway, who we just were like, hey, but he's 6'6". I mean, he's not 7'4". I mean, I remember before the game where I like to come out before the game and sit on the sideline and watch other teams warm up. So I remember Purdue walking out and saying, man, they're not that big. They're kind of like us. And then Edey walked out. I'm like, oh my God. I mean, he is a legit 7'4". There's nobody else like him. I'll tell you what he is. He's such a great offensive rebounder too. He's just so big and strong, and you can't keep him off the offensive glass. So how do you prepare? I think you just got to do what you do and try to, like, I don't know if NC State's a great matchup for them, because I think the things that Burns does well are kind of what Edey does well a little bit too, as far as playing around the post, I'm not sure that Edey will get scored upon or will get in foul trouble, because he just won't foul. So you got to make him run a little bit if you can. You got to make him defend. You got to make him have to guard stuff. And then you got to hope that he misses those little 4-foot, 6-foot shots, you know. And if you foul him, he's shooting free throws pretty well right now. So I think the advantage has to be in the backcourt, where your guards have to cause him problems. And I think NC State's got good guards. I know UConn's got really good guards defensively, which I think will cause Purdue problems if they play on Monday night.
Yeah, and that's what I think we're going to. I do believe that Purdue's going to beat NC State. I'm just curious, can Alabama give UConn a game? Because we know they could score. Their defense has gotten better in this tournament, but then it's still UConn where they haven't even played their best basketball yet, and they're still beating everyone by 20 points.
Alabama is a very good offensive team. And if they shoot threes and Nelson makes threes and Sears makes threes and those guys play well, I mean, there's a chance to hang around. And the one thing, UConn has not been tested yet. They haven't played a close game in a long time. So I think if Alabama can hang around and make it into a second-half game, all of a sudden there's 8 minutes to go, and it's a tie score, it's a one-possession game, they got a chance. But UConn is just playing at a really high level right now. And they got a little bit of edge to them, too. A little bit of, Hurley. I mean, I've known the Hurley family for a long time. They've all got an edge. The dad had an edge.
Runs
to
in
them.
The family.
Oh, yeah, they all have
I
an
love
edge
senior.
To, yeah, he's great, and he's been a good friend. And he used to come to our practice. So we went to our practice one time when I was at Division II, and there was a little bit of a skirmish, and I could just see his eyes light up like he likes stuff like that. So they got an edge to him like no one else has.
When I was at Temple, and the attendance wasn't great for the game, it was Rhode Island and Temple, and Danny and Bobby were on the same staff, and I love Fran Dunphy. But Fran isn't the most vocal, and just hearing Danny and Bobby nonstop throughout the entire game, I've never heard coaches like that.
Yeah, people are like, he's trying to soup things up. Like, Danny Hurley is himself, man. He's wired on a daily basis, so there's no doubt he'll have his team ready to play. When I was at Siena as an assistant, he was a Wagner's head coach then. He got teed up in a scrimmage. There was nobody in the gym, and he got teed up because he was going after the official. I almost got tossed out. I'm like, what is he doing? That's just who he is. And like Cam Spencer, man, I love watch that. That guy's like him. I mean, they're just a tough, hard-nosed guys that are playing with an edge right now, and they have talent, obviously. So it's going to be hard to beat them. But I think Bama can hang around and make some threes. Gonna have to shoot the ball well, but it'll be interesting to watch.
Last thing I'll ask you, because I saw this on social media, you took your family to go see Caitlin Clark go through the whole experience as they do play tonight up against UConn with Paige Buckets?
It's just crazy, right? So I grew up, I'm from Iowa, so I'm a huge, I still love my home state, my family's still love, I got a lot of family out there. So my daughter, who doesn't even play basketball, she's a dancer, but she loves to watch the games. I'm not sure she's ever watched a women's game until this year, and she's like, well, I gotta go watch, I want to watch Caitlin Clark play. So we drove up there, watched the game on Monday night, and to be in that arena to watch the LSU-Iowa game, and the excitement there was for that thing, and the enthusiasm for women's basketball. Caitlin Clark, man, a lot of people helped that, but she's really kind of been the driving force for the last couple of years of getting people excited. Like, I mean, I think the whole world's going to watch the games tonight. I was on a Zoom with a recruit this morning, and me and the recruit and his mom talked about the women's Final Four for like 10 minutes. That never would have happened. So I think it's a great thing for basketball, women's basketball. And she's a once in a generation talent. I mean, she's just such a good player, and the way she shoots the ball and the way she passes the ball, just a lot of fun to watch. So I'll be having my Hawkeye shirt on tonight, rooting like crazy for the Hawks to get to the national final. That'd be great. I think I go play South Carolina, who's really good too. So it's gonna be should be a fun weekend. I mean, all around, right? I mean, a good
100%.
I'm looking forward to both sides. So it should be a lot of fun.
When I watch Caitlin, I see, like, she's the female version of Steph Curry, and then I also see the killer mentality of a Tom Brady and also a Patrick Mahomes. Who do you see when you watch her?
I think that Steph Curry thing is good. I said in my tweet that I never saw Pistol Pete play. I used to watch all the highlights, and I was a huge – my dad was a high school coach, so I always watched, the Pistol Pete, films and videos and things like that. And, like, she makes behind-the-back passes. She makes no-look passes. She sees things that no one else sees, right? And, like, you're right, she walks out there, and she's kind of skinny. She's not like – she's just kind of – she's not wearing arm sleeves, knee sleeves. She's just playing. She's just balling, right? And she's got that killer mentality of like, you're not going to stop me. Like, you better figure out something else to do here, because if she had 41 points and 15 assists or 14 assists in the biggest game maybe of the season. Like, she likes that kind of she likes all the smoke, as they say. She wants the notoriety, So I think she'll play great. It'll be fun tonight. I mean, the whole UConn thing where they didn't recruit her, mm-hmm. That'll be interesting to see too. So no, she's like Steph Curry a little bit. The Pistol Pete flair a little bit, right? I like the Tom Brady idea too. She's mentally tough, you can tell. So typical Iowa. I talk to my staff all the time. Typical Iowa, mentally tough kind of people. So
he is Tobin Anderson, coach. Good luck at Iona. Good deal. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Zach. I appreciate it.
Hey everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
We continue. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We're sponsored today by Wrangler. It's Wrangler season out there. Open roads, endless horizons. Shop Wrangler.com for new denim styles. Made for you next adventure. Wrangler for the ride of life. We're back inside the Phoenix Convention Center. My next guest joined us a few weeks ago in studio. That's a former NBA player, Kentucky superstar, in Jamal Mashburn. Jamal, great to see you as always. How are you?
Good to see you, man. Always a great opportunity to chat with you, man. I really enjoyed it last time.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Let me start you off with the big news today. Bronny James has declared for the 2024 NBA draft. Now, he still has the option to go back to college and hit the transfer portal. That's what I kind of think will end up happening, but what was your reaction to that?
Well, I just heard about that when you just mentioned it to me. I think, I think he's in a different situation than a lot of other kids, and, his dad is being LeBron. LeBron carries a lot of weight at the NBA level, but I do often think that looking at LeBron from the outside in, I think he's going to do the best thing and guide his son to the best possible choice where he can develop as a pro player. If that's at the pro ranks, that's at the pro ranks. If it's at another school, that's at another school. But I think for Bronny, he needs more time to develop. And then also considering the other pressures that go alongside him being LeBron's son. That's difficult to deal with as well, and the expectation that goes along with that. And then a couple of that with LeBron wanting to play with his son. So we'll see what happens. I know they'll make the right choice for him and different things like that. And he'll be fine. He'll be fine, I think.
Let's say if it goes to the level where LeBron hits free agency this summer and signs with whichever team Bronny does get drafted. If you were in that locker room, and, right, LeBron's a teammate of yours, and then you'd be a teammate of Bronny. How do you think that dynamic would work in the locker room?
You know, I think it would take the – it would have to be the right organization. I don't think LeBron can play in just any organization. I think it has to be in a major media market. You have to be contending for a title. So there's only a few handful of teams that can do that, and who has the cap space to do that? That's the other question. Looking at it from a teammate perspective, I think it would be pretty cool. You have a lot of players in there that are dads or potential dads down the road, girls, whatever it be, boys or whatever it may be, who probably want the same opportunity if they had to see fit to play with their actual kid. So I don't think it'll be an issue, especially around a championship culture, because certain things in a championship culture don't come up, you know. You know, everybody's all about winning. So I think it would be cool. It would probably be like Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr., you know what I mean? Something like that. That was done in baseball, but I don't think he'll have a problem in the locker room.
Talking to Jamal Mashburn with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Like you said, he needs more time to develop. Yeah. It's an unconventional path because of who his dad is. Mm-hmm. I could see maybe getting the best of both worlds where there's still like a family type of connection where he doesn't go pro. He comes back to college. Duquesne just hired Drew Joyce III, who's longtime friend and teammate of LeBron going back to high school. That's the kind of idea that I have today, that he's going to be going to Duquesne.
Well, you know, I would, if I'm on the other side and I had an opportunity to counsel him, just like my son's in the transfer portal as well, looking at a new school, I often look at it, forget the family ties, forget the friendships and the relationships. What's the best thing for the young man? And what does he have to develop and what does he have to learn and what institution and what coach can provide that? That's how I would look at it. And then you add that in him owning his own journey. There's something to be said about, you know, failing on your own, succeeding on your own. And what I mean by on your own, obviously people help and along those ways, but it's not necessarily a family tie, a family relationship. And so as my son is in the transfer portal, he came to me and said, Dad, I'm looking for XYZ. Here's what I'm looking for. I want to develop as a player. It's not about NIL money. It's not about the name of the school or the conference. I want the best situation that can help me become a professional basketball player from an individual player standpoint while still having success on the court as a collegiate athlete. So, you know, I just think that you have to look at the situation a little bit differently because, you know, going to Duquesne, I mean, he's a big fish in a small pond. I mean, that's not an easy task to deal with. So, and he's going to come with certain things that other players don't come with. That's notoriety. That's NIL money. You know, he may have a bodyguard on campus. There's a lot of other things that come along with him. So the environment and the fit is going to have to be phenomenal, you know. And you're going to have to also have a coach that's going to have to protect him a little bit as well and has knowledge of that. Because in social media and all these things that go on, he's going to be the face of that particular program, good, bad, or indifferent.
Have you changed your tune at all when it comes to Coach Cal? Because I know last time we talked, they didn't go through the loss to Oakland. Seeing him go down again to a smaller school, has that changed your opinion on Calipari at all?
No, it hasn't changed my opinion on him at all. I think he's the, you know, there are certain situations and certain programs where it's just the right fit for not just X's and O's in basketball. You know, there's a lot that goes on with that University of Kentucky job. You're just not a head basketball coach. You're basically a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, essentially. You know what I mean? And you have to treat it as such. You can't just be about basketball and X's and O's. You got to be about other things. You got to engage the fan base, engage alumni, media, athletic director, all these different things at a heightened level. So, I mean, I've always said, you know, if you let John Calipari go and you let him walk, there'll be a lot of other schools lined up for him. But who could come in and fit that particular situation, that particular mold? I'm sure there's a lot of guys on the X and O side that can do it, but what about the other stuff?
No, it's a great point. Before we let you run, I know you do great work with the Box Out Colon Cancer campaign, boxoutcoloncancer.com. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, I teamed up with Exact Sciences and Blue Hat Foundation to get people screened who are 45 years and older. And it's personal to me, as we talked before last couple of weeks ago, is that, you know, for me, my mom dealt with colon cancer, so I've lived it. I've seen it, how it's impacted people, how it's impacted my mom, how it impacted me as a caregiver and as an only child. So I'm just here to lend my voice, to start the conversation or continue the conversation, you know, that people should, at 45 year old, they should get screened.
I know you got to run. Last thing I want to ask you, though. Men's Final Four, Women's Final Four. The Women's Final Four is going to be crazy tonight. I can't wait to see Caitlin Clark go up against UConn with Paige Buckets.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I haven't followed a lot of women's basketball, but obviously with the stars that are in women's basketball, I mean, Caitlin Clark, Paige, Angel Reese, and LSU, and all these different things. It's been
Juju
Watkins
at USC too.
Yeah. Oh, she's been phenomenal. Yeah. And, you know, for me, I follow individual players because I have that individual mindset. I don't necessarily follow teams because I, you know, play professional basketball. So it's kind of like the individuals are highlighted, and I like skill. So watching Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and the lady from USC, she's going to be a phenomenal player. I mean, to me, she's a game changer. She's the Anthony Edwards, what she's going to be to the WNBA and what he's going to mean to the NBA moving forward. I think she's a heck of a player with a high IQ. But then the men's Final Four, I mean, you got UConn. I don't see how you beat them, you know. I think UConn, the only way they get upset if they beat themselves. They have everything that they can possibly have from a personnel standpoint, coaching standpoint, culture standpoint, to win a consecutive national title.
Jamal, always great to see you once again. Make sure you check it out, boxoutcoloncancer.com. Always great to see you, my man.
Good to see you, Zach. Thank you, Wells.
There he is, Jamal Mashburn, joining us live on Radio Row inside the Phoenix Convention Center. And I keep on asking this to people that have been in a locker room before, whether you're coach or whether you're a player, is let's say with the news today that Bronny James is going to enter the NBA draft, and not only that, let's just say there's still an option on the table for him to come back, and he could transfer or he could stay currently where he is at USC. But let's go through the realm of possibility that he does stick this thing out and he does stay in the NBA draft and he gets drafted in the top 15, and then from there getting drafted in the top 15 or wherever, somewhere in the first round, whoever drafts him. LeBron James then says, okay, I'm leaving the Lakers this summer and I'm going to go join that team. So I don't know, like if you want to say LeBron James gets, Bronny James gets drafted by, let's just throw the Charlotte Hornets out there, and then LeBron signs with the Charlotte Hornets. Like a franchise like that in Charlotte, even if you don't love Bronny, it makes sense for you to draft him depending on where you are, because then you get LeBron James for maybe the last year or two of his career. But Samter, the thing that I want to bring up to you is the two-part, you know, kind of scenario here. Number one, and this is what we don't know, is does Bronny actually want to be in the same locker room as his father? But on the other end of that, if the answer is yes, how do you think the teammates in the locker room kind of react to it? Because it brings so much, drama's not the right word, but extra attention. And that does got to be a little bit bizarre when you have, and I know we've seen it before in sports, but when you have LeBron who's holding court in that locker room, and the only reason why LeBron is there is because the team drafted his son. And hey, PJ Carlissimo said it earlier, Bronny James has potential. Like Bronny James, we haven't seen the best version of him yet, and he could be a serious player. But I do feel as if a lot of people will say, if I don't know, the Hornets select, I'm just throwing the Hornets out there, but the Hornets select Bronny James, a lot of people in that locker room probably going to feel, well, is he really deserving of being in the NBA? Is he really deserving of being in that locker room right now? But it doesn't matter if you think he's deserving or not, and I think he can be a good NBA player one day, but either way, there's always that LeBron sentiment, and I wonder how that dynamic will work in the locker room.
Well, I think, one, that LeBron is, like, a good enough leader. LeBron is the kind of guy who, like, people respect, not because they have to, but because they want to.
Okay.
So I think that if they, you know, like, you don't hear a lot of guys who were teammates with LeBron saying negative things about LeBron afterwards. There aren't many. Most guys, I mean, Mario Chalmers has said some stuff. Obviously, there have been a couple other. But for the most part, most guys who play with LeBron love LeBron.
Yeah.
And they would go to war with him, and therefore they would back him if his son was there. And to what Mashburn said, a lot of these guys have kids, too, who might be making
Yeah, I never thought about it that way. It was a good point what he made.
Right, so yeah. They might look at it like, man, this is so cool. Good for you, LeBron. Like, now, unless Bronny is like a troublemaker and he's terrible and he just doesn't belong.
Yeah,
and
which no indications are that
right.
From the way LeBron has raised Bronny that he would be a troublemaker or anything like that. But there is that question of how good is this kid? And unfortunately, because of what happened in the offseason and then USC managing the minutes and having a down year, an underwhelming year, we never, like, it's kind of crazy. The two most talked about athletes' sons recently have been, or family connections, has been Arch Manning and has been Bronny James. Those have been the two.
And Shador now too.
Yeah, Shador too. You are right on that. So Shador, there was a question when he was coming over to Colorado and now being put in more of a spotlight how good he could be. And I know the team didn't play well, but you've seen the ability and the raw talent that Shador Sanders has been able to display. But the Arch Manning and Bronny James hype, like the Shador hype has really just been the last 2 years. The Bronny James hype has been there for a while. The Arch Manning hype, heck, his high school games were broadcasted. So you look at two guys who had their high school game broadcasted, in Arch Manning and Bronny James, and we still don't have any answers on how good they could be. It's always potential, 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 people raving about them, the background with the Manning family, and obviously LeBron being who he is. But we barely got to see Bronny play this year. It was extremely limited minutes for Bronny James. And for Arch Manning, there's a good chance now we're going to go through 2 years without really seeing him play football, because I know he wasn't redshirted last year, but he's practically, it felt like he was redshirted because of the fact that you had Quinn Ewers take Texas to a level they haven't been in a long time. Malik Murphy, who's now the Duke quarterback, he was the backup quarterback a year ago, but now Arch is the backup quarterback, and if Quinn Ewers doesn't get hurt, which, to be fair, he's been hurt now twice, we're not going to see Arch Manning, and that's just wild with how much that's why I always feel awkward talking about high school kids, and I know now they're college kids, but with how much conversation and attention because of their last name that both of them had in high school, we still don't know a year into Bronny James' college career, and now it's going to be 2 years into Arch Manning's career, what they are on the field or what they are on the court.
And it feels a little bit different for the basketball players because those guys are oftentimes one and done. And so they're, you know,
yeah,
they go right from high school. I mean, you know, we used to have those high school guys that came right in, like Kobe and Sean Kemp and, mm-hmm. you know, all those guys, Tyson Chandler. And so we were used to seeing guys going right from high school. And so now it's still that one-year gap. In college football, there's at least a 2-3 year mm-hmm. window. So you're not typically talking about high school football players as much as you're talking about these high school basketball players. So I think with Bronny, it's, you know,
okay, yeah, because you got to stay in college for 3 years to go until you go to the NFL too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So there's that side of it that you're used to seeing these young guys in the NBA who you just saw in high school,
yeah,
because they played a very short time in college basketball. The problem with Bronny,
Al Jefferson, I don't know why that. I was trying to think who the name was.
And the thing with Bronny though is like his stock was rising and then it was falling his senior year, and it skyrocketed back up after the McDonald's game because he got hot. He hit a bunch of threes. He played some good defense.
He's also grown into his body, too.
Sure, but like his stock was down before that game. His stock was way down, and then it went back up, and then obviously we had that, you know, terrible incident with his heart situation, and like Jamal said and like others have said, it seems like...
Like even PJ said, he's not ready, but that doesn't mean he's not going to go.
Correct. I just worry that with his dad being there, and with the circus that's going to be around it, and with him being in the NBA and all that stuff, he's not going to necessarily get the attention he's going to need to develop what he needs to
develop.
Here's
the thing, though.
And I wonder, and just mm-hmm. one more.
Yeah.
I wonder if LeBron is just like, listen, I can only play one more year, and that might be kind of forcing Bronny's decision in a sense that he's like, I might not be ready. Bronny might not be ready, but I want to play with Bronny.
Mm-hmm.
And since this is my last year coming up in 2025, this is my only chance to play with Bronny. And I hope that Bronny is not making his career decision so he can play 1 year with his dad. I hope that he's not making a decision that's going to impact negatively his career so he can play 1 year with his dad. That would be a travesty.
It would be, and that's still what we don't know. We don't know if Bronny actually shares that same dream and that same vision that his dad has.
And if he does, maybe he still wants to play that one more year in college just so he can get that seasoning, just so he can get – he doesn't need the money, right? he needs to like get better as a player so that he can compete.
And the one other thing, I think sometimes we think there's going to be big dramatic stories and things are going to be like a circus-like atmosphere. I don't know LeBron with Bronny in the same locker room. The more I think about it, like if you asked me an hour ago, would it be a circus in year one, I would say yes. If you asked me 5 minutes ago, I probably would have said it. But the more we had this conversation, I don't think it's actually as big of a circus as it is. Because here's why. And circus has a negative connotation to it. We thought the updates and the reports this year just with Victor Wembanyama was going to be like something we've never seen. As great as Wembanyama has been, and he could be Defensive Player of the Year this year, right? He's going to be Rookie of the Year. Perloff's going to be in some car driving to San Antonio like a schmuck. But it doesn't feel like there was a circus around Victor Wembanyama this year. And a big reason because of that, he's in San Antonio.
And Greg Popovich knows how to handle that.
Exactly, and Pop is the coach. So depending on who the coach is, and the coach is irrelevant in LeBron's career, and what city he goes to could dictate the circumstance of it. Because if he goes to New York, I can't even throw out Boston because there's no room. But, you know, one of these bigger cities, L.A., there is definitely a heightened amount of attention and awareness to it. But if he goes to, like, a smaller city where the media's not crazy and kind of back page, like page six, you know, craving, I don't know if the craze is going to be there outside of the initial rush when you have to maintain what is usually a pedestrian 82-game regular season that does get boring in the NBA. So it's just something to think about. I ultimately think he's coming back to college. I do. I think this is the exploratory process where Bronny's going to look good here, where he's like, after getting the evaluation, I know what I need to work on, and I'm going to transfer. And I'm still saying he's going to go to Duquesne. We're going to be all over that. Drew Joyce III, he's getting Bronny James. That's what I'm thinking. Alrighty, we'll take a timeout. One more segment to play. Last segment from the men's Final Four in the Phoenix Convention Center. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Update time first. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. It's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Jim in Connecticut says, Zach, who do you like this weekend in the games for the men's and women's Final Four? You could submit a question by tweeting at CBS Sports Radio at Zach Gelb using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. So let's start with the women's because it's going to happen in a few hours. South Carolina, I like them over NC State. Santer, I can't believe I'm going to do this because I hate picking against the team. And I want to see Caitlin Clark in the championship game going up against Dawn Staley and the Gamecocks of South Carolina. I think UConn's going to win. And here's why. The spread is Iowa -3.5. And I'm just looking at that number. And Caitlin Clark is unreal. But before Caitlin Clark, there was Paige Beckers. And if Paige Beckers didn't get hurt, I'm not saying that we would have never heard of Caitlin Clark because that would have been asinine. But Paige Buckets was like a thing in college basketball, in women's college basketball, before the injury. And she has returned to a sensational level. I'm going to plus the 3.5 points here, and I'm going to take the UConn Huskies. And I think it's the UConn Huskies against the Gamecocks of South Carolina coming up in the women's championship game. I feel really disgusting picking against Iowa. And I've picked against the Chiefs a bunch when you go into the NFL. And you have a big – you think I learned my lesson, big star, big game, shouldn't pick against Mahomes. But you look back at that Super Bowl for the 49ers, Brock Purdy wasn't even close to Patrick Mahomes. You look at this game, Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers, yeah, that's a lot closer than what people think. So I'm going to take the UConn Huskies.
I mean, you've compared Caitlin Clark to Steph Curry, Tom Brady, and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
For you to think that Paige Beckers is going to take down that trio of Steph, Brady, and Mahomes,
it ain't happening.
Caitlin Clark all the way. She's going to score 60, and they're going to win. But, I mean, listen.
60!
Paige Beckers is awesome.
60
man.
Points? Well, here's why.
Paige is awesome.
So a big reason why I was wrong, and I thought LSU was going to win, because LSU had a more well-rounded team. Caitlin Clark with Iowa was just unreal in the way she made her teammates around her better up against LSU. We got two other women into double-digit range. I just don't know if that's going to be able to happen two more times. I want it to happen. Like, full disclosure, I want Caitlin Clark to win the women's championship. I love Dawn Staley. No disrespect. It'd be awesome to see her go undefeated. I love Gino Auriemma and Paige Buckets. Awesome. I just love the greatness of Caitlin Clark. But we've had so many great individual athletes recently. I feel like it's got to even out and someone else got to win.
I mean, UConn took out USC and Juju. So, yeah. I mean, it seems like they can take on a star. But it just seems like, at least right now, Caitlin Clark is on just a different level. And like Tobin Anderson said to us, it's not just how she shoots the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It's how she passes the ball and includes all of her teammates. And you kind of forget about her teammates. They have a good team around them. Obviously, they're not at her level, and they're not. Her team isn't as good around her as what UConn has around Paige. But, like, she passes well enough. If she just gets hot, then I think this is going to be Iowa-South Carolina.
That would be the matchup I would want to see.
Yeah.
I just don't think that, honestly, it's the matchup I want to see. I just don't think we are going to see it. But I hope I'm wrong. Now, for the men's. I think I'm going to be a sucker here. This is why I'm a bad gambler. This is what I'm realizing. Everyone's saying UConn going to blow out Alabama. I actually feel that Alabama's going to give them a game. UConn will win. I will not pick against UConn. I said that before the tournament. I said that 2 months before the start of the tournament. I will not pick against UConn until they go down, right? Until I can't pick them. So I think UConn wins, but I like Alabama to cover the 11.5 points.
Now, do you think the Zach Gelb mojo is going to help our boy Nick Pringle to dominate down low, maybe?
That is a good point.
A little Zach Gelb mojo.
And he does have a chip on his shoulder, some say.
I mean, we did have Klingon also, so I mean, maybe
it
itself out.
That cancels it out. I don't think Klingon needed our mojo. I think Pringle needed the mojo. Dude, am I sitting here on Monday screaming, Roll Tide? Am I screaming that on Monday, taking credit for the Nick Pringle run? If Alabama does the unthinkable, you know I will.
You will, but it won't happen.
Yeah. And then NC State and Purdue. Here's my fear. The officials bleep it up. And either Zach Edey or DJ Burns, one of them, are out. That is my fear. And if I'm sitting watching this game and this becomes a ref show, I will be ill. I will be more ill than when I was on the flight out here. And it was all the turbulence in New York, getting out of New York, the New Jersey area for an hour when we were on the air.
There'll be more protests after the game than there were this morning before.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Samter brings it up. I don't even know what they were protesting. I don't care what you're protesting. Just don't have it impact my sleep schedule.
At 5 o'clock in the morning.
There were vuvuzelas.
Outside of all the team hotels and our hotel.
Right, am I saying that? No, the vuvuzelas?
Yeah, vuvuzelas.
I haven't heard that since the World Cup,
back in Africa,
12 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, that is an insufferable, and I mean an insufferable noise that we had to hear this morning. And you know what's also weird? I'll save this story for now because, you know, the show's almost over. There's an engineer here, Dan Silverman. And Dan Silverman is a good friend. But all of us went out to eat last night. And Dan is apprehensive about ketchup. He's apprehensive about ketchup.
There's only one brand.
He will only eat Heinz ketchup. I thought it was the weirdest thing. He ordered a burger. He said, what brand of ketchup do you have? It wasn't Heinz ketchup. So then he goes, I can't order the burger because I have to have the Heinz ketchup on the burger. So 6, 7, 8 of us, it got to be. We are all clowning Dan Silverman for being like a 3-year-old. But here's the thing.
And here comes Silverman.
They had custom ketchup at this restaurant. I actually give credit to Dan. He actually went from being like, wow, the jokes, we're laughing, pointing our finger, the joke's on him, to then the joke was on all of us. The ketchup that they home make at this restaurant was rancid. It was putrid. It was almost like salsa, just covered in sugar. It was absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, but that doesn't make it any better for Dan.
But I've never seen someone sit down and go, what brand of ketchup do you have waitress?
There is a rumor out there that at one point years ago, Mr. Silverman actually ran to a convenience store to go pick up a bottle of Heinz ketchup in order to bring it back to the restaurant and use it when he was eating.
Yeah.
Dan, is this true?
Yeah, yes. Dan is shaking his head to the right of us.
I mean, listen, ketchup is ketchup.
All right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So in my bad gambling picks, I'm taking NC State plus the points, but Purdue to win. I'm taking Alabama plus the points of 11.5, but UConn to win. I'd like to thank everyone here at Westwood One for having us the last 2 days. I'm at the Phoenix Convention Center, from the engineering team to everyone on site. They always do a first-class job. Big thanks to Jeremy for helping us out here today on site, Dan and Frank and so many more. And a big thanks to Michael Samter as well, Carlos Ortiz, back in our New York City studios along with Manny Rodriguez. All righty. Final four. Women's tonight, men's tomorrow. We'll talk to you on Monday, everybody, back in New York City starting at 3 p.m. Eastern. Peace.
Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.